Welcome to the Elks Dynasty Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We got snap reactions for the wide receiver position for week 13, and we'll just run it right down. So we are starting up here with Atlanta. Big game from Drake London. 22 routes on 25 dropbacks. That's great. 12 targets on those 22 routes. That's just an absurd number. Again, we saw this stuff at USC where he was like super dominant on, on his route participation and those sorts of things. It was always a question of like, okay, well, can he separate? Well, like we've kind of gotten the answer of like his game translates. I don't think the quarterback's necessarily a great fit for him, right? I think like if I had to pick nits about this situation, I think it's that you don't have a quarterback in Marcus Mariota who's going to be like, yeah, you know what? Like covered guy over there, like I can sling it in him. Like I can sling it into him. You know, I think that London's not a great stylistic fit for a guy like Mariota. And a lot of the stuff with London, I thought that was like when you looked at him last year, we said it a lot, which was like USC's answer about offense was essentially no matter what, the ball's going through London. So, you know, you saw a lot of tape guys say he's always covered. Well, he's always covered because they threw him the ball when he was covered. Right? Like that was their response to how do we matriculate the ball down the field? Like, and I just don't think that you have with Mariota a guy that's super, that's super able or sort of willing to throw it to a wide receiver who can succeed in that sort of way. So, I think if you had taken London's routes and just said, okay, we're going to like just drop the amount of targets that he got per route, his tape would have looked better relative to, you know, some of the separation stuff. So all that's to say, I think his game's translated in the way that he plays. I think he's a successful transition to the NFL. What I don't think is, or what I think, what I also think is that, Mariota offense, again, they want to be run heavy. Like they run the ball like when they're down, like they run the ball all the time. Probably a factor of that they just don't have a quarterback. Right? That's probably part of the reason for that. And this team is probably going to pick pretty high, it looks like. So, especially with Tampa going ahead and winning this past, I'm actually recording this late Monday night, or early Tuesday morning. So we know that Tampa won, and right, that's going to kind of knock Atlanta down a peg. As of right now, they're expected to their projected draft spot is actually is 10th. So, and again, there's a whole bunch of teams at 4-8, 4-9. With some, I think New Orleans is 4-9, has a bye coming up this week. So there's teams in there that they can, and I think would actually lose the tiebreaker. So like if they ended up, tied with some of these teams that have 4-8 right now, they would actually slide way up given the strength of schedule. So for example, they would slide if they had four wins, they would slide up to like, I think it's like five or six, somewhere sort of in that range. So, again, if some of these teams catch them, you have teams that are incentivized to continue to play, Jacksonville, Arizona, for that matter. Like, you have teams that are actually probably going to continue to play the season out. It looks like Indy's trying and all that stuff. Atlanta, if they go the Ritter route and it sort of doesn't translate, this team could really end up picking pretty high. And frankly, is a team that offensively, anyways, is a quarterback away from being, a nightmare, right? A quarterback away from being a team in that division where you're like, wow, like this is a real problem with Pitts, with London. Right? That's the makings of a really good offense indoors. Like that's a really encouraging sign. So all that's to say, pretty bullish on Drake London here going forward. Again, he's probably the third best rookie wide receiver. I don't know. He's behind Olave and Wilson. I'm sure Watson sort of fits in that conversation as well. This is a good success. This is a good success. Like, this is a good game for him. You're not going to trust him in every lineup here down the stretch, but it's pretty encouraging there, for London so far. I think he's at wide receiver. He's at like in the right around the wide receiver 12, 15 range at keep trade cut last I checked too. So again, I think that's pretty reasonably priced as well. So probably not going to be in on him a ton in startup drafts, but I could see trying to make some pivots towards him in some trades here as we get into the offseason. All right, we're not going to spend 5 minutes on every team, I promise you. Baltimore, we could kind of move it along. DeMarcus Robinson, Devin Duvernay, they combined for 14 routes in this game. It's pretty tough. I mean, DeMarcus Robinson went 7 for 41. Duvernay went 6 for 34. It's just pretty limited, and you don't really trust anyone. You're gonna have to trust anyone with Tyler Huntley in there. Right? This is a void they have in this team that makes it, I think, tough for them. It's really hamstringing them and their ability to compete. So don't really trust anyone there. I think if I had to pick one, I'd probably pick DeMarcus Robinson, but don't really trust anyone there. Buffalo. The simple takeaway from this is Stephon Diggs is awesome, basically. And has been awesome, kind of continues to be awesome. And that's the big thing there. Gabe Davis, again, full participant in the offense, 7 targets again in this game. So, again, what do we see from Gabe Davis? It's going to be some fluctuating weeks up and down in terms of usage. Like this one, it's 2 for 15 and a touchdown on 7 targets, right? And that's more than 20% of his routes he's targeted on, right? That's, you know, things fluctuate when you're a wide receiver in that sort of range. He's in the wide receiver 3 range in any given week, and that's kind of the story with him. McKenzie, there's some stuff on him and like when against teams that really play a lot of man, so just sort of keep an eye on that. I think the Dolphins coming up play a ton of man too, so he could be a guy that potentially is a spot start streamer in that sort of vein. Khalil Shakir hasn't really done much, so we'll watch for his development going forward, but that's it's Diggs and then Gabe Davis, and then really big tier break after that. The Bears without Mooney, there's not a ton here to see. I mean, Equanimeous St. Brown basically runs routes on 2/3 of the dropbacks. He goes 3 for 85. I trust it 0%. N'Keal Harry 1 for 49. He ran 3 routes. Just the people that are ahead of N'Keal Harry, there's people that took N'Keal Harry over Josh Jacobs. I remember saying like he was 3 standard deviations below the average pick of top, I think it was a wide receiver in like the top 3 of rookie drafts, I think it was the stat that I had. Just incredibly an outlier draft pedigree wise amongst the just elite guys sort of at that position. Definitely didn't warrant taking that high historically, and I think that was a key lesson in that you just take Jacobs, right? You take the first round running back, and you no matter how good the Harry profile is, like he slid that far, you have to take Jacobs. And now Harry's playing behind the following people: Dante Pettis, Chase Claypool, Equanimeous St. Brown, Byron Pringle, and Velus Jones. So, yeah, let that be a lesson for us in terms of drafting in rookie drafts, right? Don't take the guy early in the draft, right? Take guys later on. Take multiple of them, right? That's, you'd rather take 2 shots than 1 shot at that profile. 50, 60% hit rate, depending on sort of how you want to parse it. Take a lot of shots instead of just one, and never, never, ever trade up to take a wide receiver in that range. Let that be that lesson as we start heading into draft season. Jamar Chase. Wide receiver 1 type usage again, back 34 routes, 37 dropbacks. He actually ran 2 less routes than Higgins, who ran 36 out of 37. But that's full-time wide receiver usage coming back from injury, so you like to see that. 7 for 97. This offense is heading in a really good direction. Burrow's playing well, and they could be dangerous here down the stretch. Higgins, again, he's a really good wide receiver too, and what do you get with that? You get some fluctuation week to week in terms of his usage, in terms of how that ends up unfolding. Same with Boyd. Like in terms of top 3 wide receivers, they're exceptionally dangerous. Boyd, again, I've always joked about the Boyd contract. Like I was like, man, he was overpaid. And now like that contract's actually aged really well. It aged well at a position that the money's really blown up. So he's proven to be himself a pretty good pro so far. So not a big time difference maker for fantasy purposes, but if one of those other guys goes down, you feel a little bit more confident in him. Hayden Hurst going down as well will probably benefit the the Chase, Boyd, Higgins triumphant there. Mitchell Wilcox ran 23 routes in this game on 37 dropbacks, only targeted once. So, again, not the type of Hayden Hurst. I mean, Hayden Hurst was targeted three times on six routes. So, Hayden Hurst can draw some targets on his routes. Mitchell Wilcox probably is not going to, and that's going to open up some opportunity for Chase, Boyd, and Higgins, especially if you're thinking like DFS or something like that. And Hurst is going to be out that has a really good impact. Probably not a huge – it's not going to change markets or anything in Dynasty, but just something to keep an eye on. Cleveland, again, this is very clear. David Bell basically didn't play in this game, so that's notable. Donovan Peoples-Jones, Amari Cooper, the top two guys there. Donovan Peoples-Jones, the big return in this game. Cooper went 4 for 40 and had 9 targets on 24 routes. So that's, again, Watson was bouncing balls around like he was trying to throw a curveball to strike a guy out on with two strikes. And it looked like, you know, they're just trying to get people to chase a slider out of the zone. Like, that's kind of what he looked like. The fact that Cooper got 9 of those targets is encouraging. I just wish they were, you know, BP fastballs instead of, you know, sliders, you know, up 0-2 in a count. So, encouraging. Again, Cooper has the ability to really carve out a big role, a volume role in this offense without a ton of challenge, especially with Joku out. So hopeful for that here down the stretch that gets right. Dallas, good CeeDee Lamb game, 5 for 71 and a touchdown. They only threw for 170 yards. It felt like they were moving the ball a ton more than they really were. I mean, they ran for 220 and the turnovers kind of late. You know, it just kind of got out of control a little bit in terms of how they were getting the ball back and all that stuff. But Lamb, good. Michael Gallup, good. Noah Brown actually led them in routes, led them in snaps. I take that back. He's tied for the lead in routes with CeeDee Lamb at 28 of 31 dropbacks. So, again, still viable in terms of on the field taking snaps, but a clear third option in the receiver position with Dalton Schultz out there. He's really a fourth option. You know, the running backs as well. Again, so you start going down, and in a game where a team only throws it 30 times, again, that's game script a bit. Can't really trust Noah Brown, even though, like, really good early on in the season, but has really faded here just because that's the type of wide receiver that gets phased out. He's basically the, you know, it was like that him and Mac Hollins, those two guys in that sort of role were just going to play every snap. Mac Hollins has survived basically the entire season, whereas Noah Brown has not really survived that target volume role. Jerry Jeudy back, 4 for 65 for Denver. Cortland Sutton hurt. I made a Ramondre Stevenson for Cortland Sutton trade, and every time I think about it, I want to like bang my head against the wall. It just doesn't feel good, and it hasn't felt good basically since I did it. I dealt from depth and didn't address a need with it. So that's one I'm gonna have to live with. Jeudy again, only 11 routes in the game. So Kendall Hinton up to 20 out of 27 routes. So, I mean, this is actually as sort of crazy as this is to say out loud. Only 22 attempts for Russell Wilson. Actually, the volume is just way down, only 53 plays they ran. He threw it for .189. He has QBR was 65.1. Again, he didn't score a touchdown, but he almost threw it for – he threw it for more than 8 yards a clip. So, I mean – you know, if this offense can sort of, I don't know, run more than 53 plays, maybe that'll sort of boost the you know, the potential outcome for some of these guys. But, yeah, really tough. I mean, Dulcich just dominant, right? Dulcich dominant. We're living in a – everyone else in this wide receiver core is just living in a Dulcich world at this point. So a little bit you know, a little bit of a mixed bag here in terms of like the usage stuff. We'll see with we're watching the health of Sutton, who got banged up, and we're watching sort of the growth back of Jeudy in the route participation. Only 11 out of 27 routes, 4 for 65. Again, Hinton, if Sutton's going to be out, Hinton could be kind of that streaming desperation guy that I've had to turn to in a couple of spots. Detroit, Amon-Ra St. Brown's awesome. 12 targets, 39 routes, 11, 1, 14, and 2 touchdowns. Just a really dominant player in a profile that you wouldn't otherwise call dominant. You know, and just like no matter what. Like he's almost the he's kind of has the Drake London type metrics from USC. Like you look at it and you're like, you're targeted how many times on your routes? Like that's just a crazy amount. You know, it's fun. Like I like these guys that I usually bet on them, but I can come around to the multiple hit guys. It's not that many, right? But I can come around to the multiple hit guys, you know, coming from day three when they really have the good numbers here. And Amon Ross St. Brown's one of those guys. Like, you know, Tyreek Hill, I probably would have been, you know, with what I know now about stats and about these guys, some of the guys that have hit, you know, 5-6 years ago, you know, and sort of were on the Amon Ross St. Brown track and that have really sort of turned well, Diggs and Hill specifically, I would have sort of treated them a little bit differently in terms of how I sort of thought about them for dynasty purposes, you know, with the advent of like density, and you truly get some idea of like on a route run basis how good they are and sort of where that ranks, and you get I think we have a much better understanding, and the access to data has helped. A lot of the research that we've done has helped really contextualize these guys and give us a better comfort. Guys that I would have been super skeptical on early on, you know, just from like a base rates perspective, now that we've sort of fleshed it out a bit, I feel much more comfortable with a guy like Amon Ross St. Brown. And, you know, when you look up at the position, well, we should do like a, I don't know, like an under 25 ranking, something like that, and under, you know, basically younger than 24. These guys up here are just, it's really, really good up at the top of the position where it hadn't been recently. It had been really, you know, a struggle with those guys. But just you look at the guys under 25, younger than 25. So A.J. Brown's actually 25. We're not going to include him in this. But you got Jefferson, Chase, Waddle, Lamb, Brown, Diggs, Hill are the next guys up at keep, trade, cut. They're all 25 or older. Olave, 22. Amon Ross St. Brown, 23. T. Higgins, 23. Garrett Wilson, 22. DK Metcalf, 24, who's going on like 30 at this point. Drake London is at 14. There's Adams in there at 13. Of course, 29. Cup, 29. But Pickens, 21. Jameson Williams, 21. Debo Samuel's 26. Traylon Burks is 22. Christian Watson's 23. Right, so you look in the top 10, you look in the top 20 guys over at Keep Trade Cut, and that's basically, it's basically, I think, 13, 14 of them are 24 or younger. And that feels very, very, like 2014, 2015. As opposed to, you know, some of the other stuff that's gone on more recently, which has been like, we had several bad receiver classes, right? You look at this and you've gotten guys that have hit from all over the place. You got guys that have hit high. Waddle in particular, like a guy we didn't necessarily expect with his profile to be a big hit. Like he's wide receiver 3 in dynasty, according to Keep Trade Cut right now. You know, we've had guys like Amon Ross St. Brown come from deep, right, in the draft. We've had guys that have come in as wide receiver 2s be really good. Higgins, like all, like just a variety of different guys have hit or trending towards hits, you know, on success tracks very early, which is super encouraging. So this wide receiver position is really going to be younger, I think, and more vibrant with some young guys here than it has been in some recent years. So that's really encouraging. And going to be fun here going forward. Jameson Williams, only 8 snaps, 2 routes. I think I discussed this on a show. It must have been the initial reaction show. Would probably have optimized him a little bit more. But, you know, they won 40 to whatever. So, you know, what the hell do I know? But DJ Shark, again, big game for him as well. 5 for 98. This team, when healthy, awesome. And, like, honestly, you could look at and I'm going to have to quiz Chad, but he actually pitched Brady to the Lions, and my head exploded. I was like, that would be awesome. They actually have a top 4 pick at present as well. Like, holy smokes. I'll have to talk to them a little bit more about that, but I just sort of pass it along in text. But, I mean, a great landing spot for potential for a potential quarterback here. Goff, again, like, could actually play them into being a playoff team. Like, I don't think it's impossible. Like, they're 5-7 and are within shouting distance of, guys, of teams that, frankly, I think could, could falter down the stretch. San Francisco could certainly falter. Seattle, I'd probably put as, like, the favorite to win the NFC West right now, but certainly one of those two teams could hit the brakes and not make the playoffs. Detroit could seriously go on a run here. Goff could kind of play them into the playoffs, and they still have a top five pick. So I think it's a really interesting, like, they're in a super interesting situation because they're playing with house money because of how good the Rams pick is right now. So this team's awesome. This team can really be awesome, I think, for the next coming years. Like, Amon-Ra St. Brown's awesome. Like, Shark's probably not going to be there, but Jameson Williams is really good. Like, Swift back to healthy. Like, again, they got a good offensive line. Like, they got the makings of something really good cooking here. It'd be interesting to see if they could land, like, a top five quarterback to take them to the next level. Christian Watson's awesome. Is basically the next note that I have. That's Green Bay. Big play after big play. It's just exciting. Like, you just look at all these wide receivers. It's super exciting to watch, and really fun. Targeted on 20% of his routes, 6 targets on 30 routes. Again, some of the touchdown stuff you get a little spooked on. But you start looking at it and you're like, all right, like, he's being targeted on a sufficient number of routes. Like, early on, it was very much like, oh, he got, you know, he netted, 2 touchdowns on a very low route participation. Like, I don't love that. But now it's really starting to build out where he's becoming an every down player. He's becoming very much in the every down sort of role of the offense, and routine's not the right word, like a reasonable range of outcomes in terms of his targets and his per route run stats. Sustainable, very good, right? So we'd like to see better than 20%, but again, it's better than him being some of the lower numbers he was earlier on, but just sort of living off touchdowns. Like, Jahan Dotson is basically kind of like the opposite of what Christian Watson has developed into. Dotson's basically been kind of bad on a per route basis, but scored a ton of touchdowns. Watson has basically grown out of that sort of role, which is it's really exciting for him in Dynasty. Lazard doing wide receiver 3 type stuff. Cobb going to be up and down situationally. Houston, I'm getting some Darnell Mooney type vibes out of Nico Collins. 11 targets in this game, 28 routes. So again, you see that good route participation. Doesn't do a ton, 3 for 35 and a touchdown, but very much feels like heading into the offseason, like if they move on from Brandon Cooks, for example, that he could be a potential buzz guy, kind of in the Darnell Mooney type, mold coming out of this season. So be watching that and the conversation that I'm sure will ensue with that. Again, they'll have a young quarterback. Like, there'll be excitement about this team going forward. All right, Indianapolis Colts. Alec Pierce, I continue to sort of – I think this is the organizational failures of a team that you enter – like, don't enter a team with a coach on the hot seat. Like, don't enter a season with a coach that you're like, all right, if this goes bad, I'm going to fire in season. Because if you've gotten to that point, like, you've already sort of – you've lost the long-term build – like, you've lost the long-term sort of, the long-term vision for your team. And so the players that you're developing, right, the players that you're drafting to fit in your system, then interim coach is then developing them, is developing them. And so you get Alec Pierce running, 30 routes on 40 dropbacks, which he's playing behind Paris Campbell. Like, the answer to who is the contributing wide receiver on the next really good Colts team, I can guarantee you it's not Paris Campbell. Almost guarantee you. I never guarantee anything, but I can fairly confidently say that it's not Paris Campbell. It could be Alec Pierce, doing good stuff as a rookie, but playing behind Paris Campbell makes zero sense. Like, play him. You guys are terrible. Play him. See what you have, right? Develop him. And when you have an interim coach who's a media commentator, right, there's just not that incentive there. So I don't know. We'll see here going forward. But I'm encouraged by Pierce. A little bit of an athletic profile. Didn't have really the type of production that we love coming in, but has been pretty good. In turning some heads, I think, in terms of some of his production profile. So I'm interested to see sort of between him and Pittman, right? This team picks in the top 10 of the draft, they can land a quarterback. Like, that's actually not a bad situation to go in. You got Taylor, you don't have anything really outside of those guys, but an offensive line that's struggling, but that offensive line gets right, all of a sudden, like, you have a pretty good situation in terms of some skill players if Pierce can continue to develop. So that's pretty exciting. Jacksonville feels like just kind of up and down week to week. Christian Kirk goes for $104, six receptions in this game. Again, 33 routes, 39 dropbacks, 8 targets. Zay Jones was a dud game in this one, but he's on that wide receiver 3 landscape. And honestly, it's like he's one of the guys that's sort of on that landscape that as a wide receiver 2 on his team in a situation where the quarterback's not that – you wouldn't put in the top 8, probably wouldn't put in the top 12 of producers. Like, it's a weird spot where he's actually pretty useful for fantasy purposes despite the offense not being that great. So it's an interesting spot there for him. Pretty optimized role. For Kansas City, again, this is a situation where the opposing defense just kind of, capped them a bit. 54 plays. I went back and looked. Actually, Mahomes threw for 223 on 27 attempts, 90 QBR. They just kind of get the wind taken out of their sails by only running 53 plays. Juju Smith-Schuster, I think the biggest news from this, 24 routes and 30 dropbacks. You're pretty encouraged about that. He's back to sort of his usage. MVS has MVS earrings, which tells me basically all I need to know about his development of his career. 5 targets in this game, had a big drop, 2 for 71, but doing Marquez Valdez-Scantling type things. The Chargers. Keenan Allen had one of the better throws and catches that you'll see from a quarterback to a wide receiver on the run. Herbert dropped in an absolute dime in the back of the end zone. I don't know. It must have been like a 35-yard touchdown, something like that. Let's see what his long was. Yeah, it was actually, I believe it was a 35-yard touchdown. Just an unbelievable throw and catch. 6 for 88 and a touchdown, right? Kind of working his way back in there. I feel pretty confident about him. Putting him in your lineup, hoping Mike Williams comes back. Josh Palmer putting himself kind of in that wide receiver 3 type landscape. I still think that they need to go back and readdress the position again. You know, just keep kind of diving back in because Herbert's going to be up for payday. They're not going to be able to keep paying guys. So they're going to need to sort of get some youth there. The fact that they could go 3 years without a playoff berth with Herbert at quarterback on a rookie deal is just a pretty sad indictment of where they are at, through the development of his career, honestly. But 7 for 60 for Palmer and 11 targets. That's pretty good there for him. DeAndre Carter pretty limited in this game. The Rams, it's going to be audition season, I think. Tutu Atwell running 18 routes, 5 targets in this game. He goes 2 for 48. I don't think you're expecting anything much out of this team, but you're just kind of looking to see what they have. You know, Skaronic's basically kind of showing he's not it. Tutu Atwell, you know, could he be a situational guy when this team sort of gets back together next year and can get healthy? Maybe, right? That's kind of what you're hoping for. But, yeah, not a ton here to really look forward to, and you're not really encouraged or you're not starting Van Jefferson, like with Wolford in, Wolford out, you know, Bryce Perkins. Like, this is a really rough situation for this team going forward. Vegas, Devontae Adams is awesome. 12 targets and 28 routes. The passing game, just so concentrated. 21 targets between Mac Hollins and Devontae Adams. Like, you feel pretty good about Mac Hollins in any given week because you're like, all right, like, the targets are only going to go a couple of places. Adams, Hollins, like, Moreau's not that good. It's Jacobs. You know, we'll see what happens when Waller is going to be eligible here to return, I think, this week or the following week, so that might cut into it a little bit. But Yeah, give me Mac Hollins on that wide receiver three because he's capable of the blow up week. There's just not that many places to throw the ball, so it's going to find him. You know, Keelan Cole's running 22 routes and not being targeted. The ball is going to find Mac Hollins, and I think we'll see that. He will play a consequential role in playoff games because this just the ball is going to find him because there's not very many other places for the ball to find when Devontae Adams isn't just, you know, being targeted on 50% of routes. Like, there's, there are actually other routes for people to be targeted on, and there's not that many people to throw it to. So Adams can dominate. Hollins can still be relevant. That's kind of what you saw in this game. Miami, Tyreek Hill's awesome. Quiet Waddle game, 1 for 9. Had 5 targets, but actually played behind Trent Sherfield as well. So I think Waddle was maybe banged up in this game a bit. I'm not sure sort of what the nature of that is. We'll watch. But Trent Sherfield's a guy that could potentially step up, but it's probably just going to be Hill. I mean, just dominating. So we'll watch for that here going forward. Watch the Waddle injury news as we sort of, as we head towards waivers for this week. Minnesota, again, it's more of the same. It's Jefferson, it's Thielen. Thielen's pretty limited in terms of like what he's going to offer at this point. Like, not a big yardage guy at this point, but it's really Jefferson. Like, this is another team that could add, the fact they brought in Hockenson makes a lot of sense, but they certainly have a need for another wide receiver on the other side of Jefferson. Like, I imagine that's going to be a priority for them in the offseason. And they're going to have to start paying Jefferson. Like, they're going to have to start paying Hockenson. Like, they're going to need cheap talent on the other side. So I'd imagine that day two pick is going that way for them would be sort of my guess. And, could even be in the wide receiver first-round market. I think there was some talk about them last year being in that market. So it wouldn't be super surprising to see them. You know, they've shown an inclination to sort of lean into the passing game with Hockenson as well. So we sort of have an idea of what they're thinking about here. Thielen down the stretch can be wide receiver 3, wide receiver 4 type range for you. And obviously Jefferson's awesome. New England, it is a dysfunctional passing game. They were like yelling at each other on the sideline. I don't know. It's really tough. It's Parker and like at 31 out of 38 routes, and then Jacoby Myers at 24, Aguilar 20, Tyquan Thornton 14, Kendrick Bourne 16. Again, not enough concentration there to trust outside of like Devontae Parker. But again, you don't feel super confident about that either. He goes 2 for 16. Devontae Parker is one of the least trustworthy. Like, I'd rather do so many other things than trust Devontae Parker. Just like I've been there before. Like, I'm good. Like, I've lived it. I'm good. Like, I don't need to do it anymore. I've experienced that. No need to go back to it. The Saints, Olave, again, I'm recording this after Monday Night Football. I don't have all the full data, but 4 for 65. Rashid Shaheed coming up 4 for 75 on Monday Night Football as well, and that's Jarvis Landry 2 for 14. So tough to trust Landry at this point. I'd like to see the Shaheed's route numbers when they come out. Might potentially make my waiver wire column this week over at Football Guys. Again, participating more would be really, I think, the big takeaway. All right, next up you got the Giants. And it's Darius Slayton. He's 6 for 90 in this game, 8 targets, leads them in routes, basically running route on every play. He's much better cast as a wide receiver 3, and he's sort of forced into a wide receiver 1 type of role. That's a limiting aspect to this offense. It's kind of tough to evaluate Daniel Jones when that's the case. Isaiah Hodges is a name that's interesting. Was like a day 3 guy for the Bills, got cut, ended up with the Giants. That same staff, by the way, you know, that has that link to the Bills, so that's interesting. But Richie James, not enough volume to trust. 21 routes on 40 dropbacks. That's a lot less than I expected. I expected him to basically be a full participant in the offense, and he hasn't been. So pretty dubious there. The Jets, again, Garrett Wilson's awesome. 6 for 1, or sorry, 1 for, let's try that again. 8 receptions, 162 on 14 targets. Write it backwards once and it'll totally mess up your sentence. It's the takeaway from that. I've learned my lesson. I will no longer write that sentence and the manner with which I wrote it. That will be the lesson that I have from this podcast. Corey Davis, 46 of 60 routes, 5 for 85. Actually, Elijah Moore is probably the biggest takeaway from this. 45 routes on 60 dropbacks. I remember trading him early in the season for Tyler Lockett, and I was like, yes, done. Get like rid myself of this thing. And he's actually managed to work his way back into being relevant. So this offense is better with Mike White than it is with Zach Wilson. I don't know how relevant Elijah Moore is going to be. He's going to probably be a guy that really plummeted in market value here. He's like borderline top like 25 guy. This offseason, not going to be that anywhere close to that after this really dud of a season. All right, Devonta Smith is top 20 wide receiver this season. AJ Brown's awesome. Like these two guys, it's really, really tough. Again, you get two guys on the outside that can play. It's really tough to guard those two guys, and like that's what we're seeing. I actually composed a list here, and I'd be interested to see what other people have opinion wise. This isn't ranked in any way. I just sort of started putting them down. Best wide receiver twos: Devonta Smith, Hollywood Brown's probably on the list. T. Higgins, Mike Williams, Thielen on the older aspect, Waddle, Devonta Smith, of course, Lockett, Pickens, Ayuk, Godwin, right? You start looking at that, you're like, all right, like Smith, yeah, it's depending on what you're trying to accomplish in that range, but you feel pretty good about that. You know, Jalen Hurts has been pretty good as well. And all of a sudden, like you actually feel better about Devonta Smith in terms of maybe some ceiling than I did coming into the season. So he's really been proving himself well and is exciting. Like this offense is really good, fun to watch. So good for him. Again, he's probably wide receiver two, wide receiver three in your lineup in any given week and has the ceiling for more of that if something were to happen to A.J. Brown. Pittsburgh, it's the return of Deontay Johnson. I kid. He's feels like he's been buried behind George Pickens, but George Pickens had two targets in this game. Deontay Johnson had 10. Deontay Johnson's 5 for 60. Again, on a per-route basis, it's like 2 yards a route run. You'll certainly take that. Not a big fantasy game. They only threw it 28 times, but I'm encouraged for him in the offseason. I think it's a really good skill to have to be able to get a ton of targets. And he's shown that pretty consistently in his career. So that's something I kind of trust going forward. He's just going to be a guy that's going to be targeted a ton. And I think that's an encouraging sign. So he's really fallen behind Pickens in terms of dynasty valuation. I think that's a clear, if you're skeptical of Pickett, for example, like there's no reason to take Pickens there. If you're sort of bullish on this offense, you know, them turning it around or whatever, like the bet isn't on Pickens, the bet's on Deontay Johnson, much cheaper. So I think that he's a clear, like this is a pretty clear dynasty lesson for me. You take Deontay Johnson over Pickens when the value is that different between the two of them. And by the way, I did look Deontay Johnson, wide receiver 34 is a very reasonable cost for him at keep trade cut. He's wide receiver 41 on the season, but he's tied for 13th in receptions. He just doesn't have touchdowns. 4.6 expected touchdowns entering this week, and he's got zero. And that kept up. Again, I didn't get the updated expected numbers yet, but I will sort of have them, you know, for future weeks. But, yeah, entering this week, 4.6 expected touchdowns, and that certainly went up this week and still doesn't have one. So, yeah, I'm pretty bullish on Deontay Johnson, especially at that value. All right, San Francisco, what can Debo and Ayuk do here going forward? I think this takes them down a peg, certainly without Jimmy G. I will say this about San Francisco. They went to a Super Bowl, and in the lead up to the Super Bowl, there was a game where Jimmy Garoppolo threw it 8 times. So I wouldn't count them out yet. But I think this certainly takes them down in terms of expectations for their lineup going forward. Ayuk has basically been an every down player for them. Debo Samuel, something less than that, but still the wide receiver too. It was a good Samuel game. good-ish Samuel game, 6 for 58 in this game. Ayuk, 5 for 46. And it was pretty played like 76 snaps. So, again, it wasn't bad for Purdy. Like, you come in and play without any prep. Like, your team's going to start preparing for you. The game plan sort of to take out the rookie quarterback and those sorts of things. Like, it'll be a different week for him coming up. But, yeah, I mean, he didn't fall on his face. So, again, this doesn't help anybody. But you just sort of hope that guys like Samuel and Ayuk can survive. It's just probably taken down a peg would sort of be, the concern. But I think long-term, Ayuk's pretty interesting. Again, you got to worry about kind of his cost. But, Samuel down a lot from where he was last year. Maybe he'll be a potential buy-low guy heading into next season. Seattle, both guys are awesome. Lockett and Metcalf, like, go for 19 targets between the two of them, like 250 and two touchdowns, like just awesome. Those guys are awesome. Fun to watch. Again, I think this is one of the most fun stories in the NFL this season. Tampa, like I shoveled dirt on Brady, and I knew when I did it that he was going to come back and win just because that's what happens with Brady. Evans was like putrid for a while, but he went 4 for 59 and sort of got right. I think he didn't have like a target in the first half or had like one target or something like that. It was pretty rough start for him. He salvages. Godwin gets 8 catches, 63 yards. He's back to that kind of volume, sort of low A-dot guy that he's been. And that's kind of the lesson there from the game. Julio out there relevant, made a big catch on the stretch, 6 targets in the game. So encouraging there for him. And he's definitely one of those guys where they loaded up and they did Super Bowl aspirations. So they weren't going to use Julio in October when he wasn't, feeling like let's get him right for sort of the stretch run. And it's for times like these that you add a guy like Julio, and he made a big play there for them down the stretch. So I don't think he's going to be a big time difference maker for fantasy at this point. But, if there's a Godwin injury, something like that, he's heading back to being healthy and sort of a productive member of this team. It could be interesting to watch to potentially get a spot start for him down the stretch. Tennessee, Treylon Burks hurt in this game, so that's pretty that's a bummer. He made a touchdown catch and then got hurt. So only 10 snaps for him, 7 routes. Nick Aquino, Westbrook, and Robert Woods just holding down the fort of not being productive. Between the two of them, they ran 68 routes. 2 receptions, 10 yards. Just abysmal between the two of them. And then someone by the name of CJ Board was 1 for 6. And that's your receiving game for Tennessee. Really tough. Nothing to stop Treylon Burks from coming back. Literally no one there to stop Treylon Burks from being relevant when he comes back. Washington, last but not least, cooking. McLaurin, awesome. 8 for 105 and a touchdown. 12 targets in this game. Jahan Dotson, 9 targets, 42 routes. So, again, that's encouraging. We want to see those sort of metrics come up. 54 yards on 42 routes. Like, you don't love that. You don't love it. He seems like he's really getting away with the touchdown again. So this feels a little disappointing for Dotson, even though I think at the end you're going to, oh, look, like the per game numbers aren't that bad. He's pretty productive on a per game basis. But when you sort of drill down in it, I have some skepticism. So he's going to be a guy that I'm interested in sort of packaging to move up the position in the offseason. I think he's got a pretty clear sell profile at the current trajectory he's at. Curtis Samuel, 38 routes, 47 dropbacks. He goes 6 for 63. Again, this is basically the formula from early on in the season. Like, let those three guys run wild, basically. And it's like, frankly, those three guys, like, that's a top 5 unit probably around the league. Like, it's a really good top 3. And diverse top 3 too. So I think it's encouraging. Again, with Heinicke, you're going to get some ups and downs. He probably got away with better than he actually was in this game. So, but yeah, that they can move the ball, and hopefully Dotson will sort of get a little bit more efficient here as the season winds down. So that's it for the wide receiver snap reactions for this week. I will have quarterbacks next. I will have quarterbacks tomorrow, so we'll have all that out for you as well. Or today, I guess you'll be listening to this on Tuesday. So I'll have that out later today. Your waiver stuff as well. We'll have trades and the like. So that'll do it for this edition. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.